But I am going to be talking about something that seems to always come about the first of the year. I get to thinking about the last couple of years that January has rolled around. I've got to doing these lessons about resolutions. Well, it's not exactly a lesson about a resolution so much as it is about a spiritual resolution, a spiritual workout. You see, most people around the first of the year, January comes around, and the resolution that people really want to make for themselves is, I want to be the better me or the best me that I can possibly be. I want to improve myself somehow. I want to get better. I want to get back into shape. I used to be in shape back in the day. I want to get back to what I used to be. And we make these resolutions. I'm going to start going to the track every night. I'm going to get back in the weight room. I'm going to start doing P90X and Turbo Jam and, you know, all those good things. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to get back into shape. Maybe you start walking again. There's benefits to it. Whenever you get back into shape, you can breathe better. You have more energy. They say that if you get back into shape, you know, or you start walking and exercising, you help your heart. You get better able to fight off diseases and other types of cancers and diabetes. And so those things are very good for us. But in the grand scheme of things, what have they done? I think it's important that we should work out. You know, I used to work out a long time ago. I won't say why I quit working out. But whenever I was working out, you know, I could go to the track. I could run around the track and really push myself. I could go maybe two miles around the track just constantly running. You know, that was easy for me to do. Today, if I went out there and really pushed myself, I might could get two laps out of the track. And, you know, my knees hurt a little bit more now. My feet, my ankles hurt. You know, things like that. And they say it gets worse as you get older, they tell me. But what do we really do? You know, we get into this idea of we're going to start working out. We're going to get ourselves back into shape, and we worry about getting into shape, and we forget about our spiritual health as well. Whenever we start this plan of working out, I'm going to be the better me this year, and let's say I get to going around the track, and I'm going around the track, I'm really doing good, I'm to where I can run a mile again. What happens if I quit? Then all of a sudden I start to lose that again. And all of a sudden I can't run a mile no more because I've quit. And it's kind of like that with our spiritual well-being. But Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8 that bodily exercise profiteth little. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godliness is profitable unto all things. I tried this morning, because the last couple of times I've given this lesson, I've made it a little bit extra long, and so I tried to eliminate a few things, and I'm going to give an analogy now that's supposed to be later on in the sermon, but I'm going to put it right here right now so y'all can know where I'm going already. That a long time ago, I used to like going on dirt roads, and I would go on dirt roads all over Memphis. You'd ride dirt roads everywhere through Memphis and the surrounding areas, just finding new dirt roads to go on, and that's what you did after school and late at night and all these good things. You just did that. Well, one day, me and my friend, we were going down a dirt road, and we came across, and there was a roadblock, and it said, road closed. And I've been down this road 100 times. I know where this road goes. I know that it shouldn't be closed. I know that this is wrong. I know I can drive down it. I've done it. I say, hey, let's get out and let's move this roadblock sign out of the way. And so we get out, we move this roadblock sign out of the way, and sure enough, we pull out onto the road, and this road, of course, is surrounded by peanut fields on both sides of it, and there had been a windstorm sometime that went through Memphis, and it just pushed all this sand over onto this road. And I come up to the very edge of the sand and I see it and it's covering the road for a long ways off. And I say, oh man, I think we can make it through it. We just got to get a running start. And so we back up as, you know, however far we are, and I hit the gas and we accelerate at a high rate of speed and I really make sure that we get far enough out there before we come to a complete stop out in the middle of all this sand. And now here we are, it's late at night, cell phones aren't as prevalent as they were today or as they are today. So we didn't have a cell phone on us and now we're stuck out in the middle of nowhere in the sand. And you say, oh, well, I'll just get out and dig our back tires out, you know. And so you get out, you dig your tires out, and all of a sudden all you're doing is going further and further down every time until finally you're right at the door with the sand now, you know. And now you're saying, okay, well, I guess we're got to walk back into town. And so you get to walk, and maybe someone just happens to be by to pick you up. But it's late at night, so who are you going to call to come get you out, Toya? But... Or she would know someone that could get me out, you know. But there was a warning sign that I had ignored that got me in that situation in the first place. That's really the point that I'm getting at. I ignored a warning sign and it got me stuck out in something I didn't want to be in. And today I want to look at some signs of spiritual decline. And if we find ourselves on that path of spiritual decline, that we can maybe instead of going through that roadblock, we can turn around right now while we have a little bit of time left to do it and maybe not get ourselves stuck. And the first sign of spiritual decline that I see is reading our Bible. In Isaiah 34:16, the Bible says, "But seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail, none shall want her mate, for my mouth it has commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them." Reading the Bible as we ought to. This, if you want to go for resolutions this year, I was talking to Lori toward the first of the year, and I said, you know, Lori, we really have to get into the book this year. As a family, we need to really focus on setting aside a day, a time that we're going to sit down as a family and we're going to focus on the Word of God together. We're going to read it. If nothing more than just reading a few chapters together, just so that we're in it together. Not that that's our only time in the Word of God, but putting a little bit more of the Word of God in your life. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." And of course, 2 Timothy 2:15, we all know we use it a lot. We quote it a lot from up here, but just studying to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And there's many more scriptures we could throw in there just that would support those topics of reading and studying and knowing the Word of God. The children of Israel were commanded, know the Word of God. As a Christian, we're commanded to study and to have those things always in our heart. To bind them around our hands, to put them on our post, to teach them diligently to our children because it's that important that we know them. What good is the book to us if we don't know it? What I would ask is simply knowing the Word of God enough. You know, a lot of people have a photographic memory. I don't. A lot of people can read something one time and they have it, Ian probably, but now he shakes his head no, but he really is good at memorizing things much better than I am at it. And there are other people out there as well that can do that. As I say, I'm not one of them, but what good is it if we know it, if we can memorize it, but we don't apply it to our life? What good is it to know all the books of the Bible in alphabetical order? Or what good is it to know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and the letters to the... Well, you know, because we learned that in singing instruction, right? But what good is it to know the order of things, if you will call it the order of things, but not be applying the word to your life, not allowing it to guide you? James chapter 1 and verse 22, he said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer of the word, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Doing the word, living the word, it's important to us as a Christian to do it. Luke 6 and 46, Jesus said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my word, my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." And he would go forth to tell who he was like. Not sure I was supposed to have a blank slide in there right there, but there we go. "He is like a man which buildeth a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when he had the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth the word and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." Building our house upon a solid foundation, the Word of God, using that in our lives, teaching it diligently to our children, and it's a warning sign to us today of a spiritual decline. Not that you are declining spiritually, but you have gone through that roadblock. And you're going to get yourself stuck. And it's a warning sign that we need to turn around and get ourselves back into the Word. Another one seems to be relevant for us today is letting go of the things of the world. Not taking the things of the world and letting them hold us down anymore. Not taking ourselves and dividing ourselves over little bitty minuscule things that don't really mean nothing. Being carnal, if we will. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" Being carnally minded, holding on to things of the world, allowing, not being able to grow spiritually because we're holding on to little things like who baptized us and who we're from or what was our background. I never really have come across anything like this before, where someone was dividing themselves, saying, "I'm of Paul or I'm of Cephas," but we understand the problem that they had here at Corinth in this division until recently. I was talking with someone who had been baptized. And they had been baptized by someone of, we'll say, good stature in the community. A very well-respected man, very high up in the community. And this person had baptized this other person. And I was talking to this person. I'm not going to say the name of who it was. It's not known here in Wheeler, but if I was to say the name, everyone would know who it was. And as I was talking to these people, they said, I recently got baptized. I said, "Well, that's great. That's wonderful, you know." And they said, "Well, I got baptized by so-and-so." And there's the name I'm withholding for, you know, protection of the innocent. And they said, well, I got baptized by so-and-so. I went, well, that's really good. You know, I didn't know that. That's awesome. And they said, yeah, but who else could say I was baptized of this person? I mean, it's really awesome. Anyone could have baptized me, but this person, not everyone can say that they were baptized of this person. And then Corinthians hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, hold on a second. I mean, this was almost just what Paul took up. We start focusing on the wrong things. Hebrews 5 and verse 12, he says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Being able to discern both good and evil. That was essentially the same thing Paul had instructed Timothy. Studying to show himself approved unto God, being able to decipher what the good stuff was and what the bad stuff, whether there was some good doctrine to take hold of or whether it was bad, being able to discern between the two. People that were holding on to the world, that were carnally minded, couldn't discern those things. They were unskillful in the word. Romans 8 and verse 5, he says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. He says, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but they that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, then the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. He says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Mortify the deeds of the body, the things of the flesh. Instead of focusing on the things of this world, instead of focusing on the things of the flesh, focusing on spiritual matters, focusing on the future rather than on the things of this world, not being held down by the things of the past. We'll get more to that in a little bit. And as a warning sign to us today, whenever we allow things of the past to hold us down, seeing our brother or sister in need and not doing nothing. This one is one for me that I've been on the receiving end myself, that people have seen me in need or my family in need and have helped us out. And just to take that forward and to say, you know, I want to pay forward. I want to, you know, someone else laid the foundation for me. Someone else set a foundation, an example for me that I should follow. Someone helped me. Maybe I should pay it forward and help someone else. But it's the Christianly thing to do, not just because I'm trying to continue on a chain of love or whatever it is, but it was something that a Christian should just want to do. Whenever we see someone that has need, a brother or a sister that have need, he says that we should not shut up our bowels of compassion, he says in verse 17 of John chapter 3. He says, whoso has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Loving in deed and in truth, not just in word. Deuteronomy 15, he says, if any If there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shall thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. I just think it's funny that the word of God hasn't changed for his people. Reaching out and helping someone in need was as common for the children of Israel as it is for Christians today. Whenever God set it up, he said, help those that have need. It wasn't any different for us today. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to them, what does it profit? And that's a, if you will, it's a warning sign. It's a warning sign to us today of a spiritual decline. Hardening our hearts. You know, sin has a hardening effect. And whenever we live in sin, we're after the things of the sin, after the things of the world, and we find ourselves out in the middle of this stuff, then it begins to change how we view things. One thing that I used to do that I really liked to do was whenever I would buy a cassette back in the day, or CDs, I guess, if you will. It was cassettes, but they were starting to transfer up to the CDs. I wouldn't buy one. I did not like going to Walmart to pick out my CDs because they were censored. I had to go to Hastings or some other music store to where I could buy one that had the parental advisory on it, because that's how I talked, because that's the way I wanted to hear things. I heard something about the movie American Sniper before church, and they said, you know, there's language barriers in it. Back in the day, that didn't bother me. That's how I wanted it to say, because that's how I talked. That's who I was. And those things didn't bother me. But whenever you get out of that situation, and you move off and you're changing your life and you're trying to live better, you're trying to be a good Christian and get your life set in order, then you start noticing things like that you didn't notice before. Whenever you go to hang out with your old friends and they're talking like sailors like you used to, and you say, that's how I sounded before. He says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin is deceitful. And whenever we're in it, we don't really see the deceitfulness of it. Matthew 13:22, he said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The deceitfulness of the things of this world. Romans 1:22, he says, for 1:21, but because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Their heart was darkened. Sin has a darkening effect upon our hearts. And it's a warning sign to us today that whenever we can't blush at sin, whenever things of this world no longer bother us, then maybe we're off a little bit deeper into that sand than we wanted to be in. How do we improve our spiritual health? Well, if we're going to improve our spiritual health, And I think it comes about by desiring the Word of God, by wanting to get into the Word, by reading it more, by studying it more. In 1 Peter 2:2, he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We have to desire that. 1 Corinthians 14:20, he says, brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. He wants us to understand. In malice you can be children, be ignorant of those things, but in the Word of God, in His Word, be strong in understanding, be men. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The more we're in the Word, the more we study it, the more we can allow it to guide us, the more it guides us. When we take it, we use it, we apply it to our lives, it guides us in the ways that we should go. We can improve our spiritual health by taking a little extra time out of our lives just to focus on the Word. Let go of the things of the world. This is a hard one for a lot of folks, but whenever we let go of the things of the world and we focus on what's right, then we begin to improve our spiritual health. So many people are in the spiritual decline state because they've held on to the things of the world rather than becoming that new creature in Christ after being baptized, raised up to walk in newness of life, rather than letting go of those things that held them down, that once defined them. They've let them hinder them from becoming what they could be. Paul said it like this, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. You know, as a Christian, we have to know that we are not the people that we used to be. We have to know that we're not defined by what we once were. There's so many times that I thought, you know, I don't deserve, I can't get up here in the pulpit and preach because of who I used to be. I can't stand before a group of people and pray, or I can't get up here and lead a song because of who I once was. But I'm no longer that person. I'm not who I used to be. Paul wasn't that person. He had to let go of the things of the past. Because what we have is today. Who we are today is what matters. Not who we will be in the future, because what we have is today. Not who we were in the past, because what we have is today. And so whenever we learn how to let go of the things of the past, we can move out of a spiritual decline and grow stronger spiritually. Matthew 6:24, he says, no man can serve two masters. We know that because one will hate the other and despise the other and love one and hate the other. But we can't serve God and mammon. We can't hold on to the things of the world and try to hold on to the things of God. I heard Pat Mannon say one time in a lesson that some people are just religious enough to be miserable. It's because they try to hold on to the things of the world, and they know just enough of the Word of God to know that they're not supposed to live with the things of the world, but they don't want to let go of the things of the world, and so they're just miserable. And we can't do that. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Letting go of the things that we once were, that once defined us. And when we do that, we begin to grow spiritually. Whenever we see someone that has a need and we do good for them, we begin to grow spiritually. Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Whenever we have opportunity. I hear sometimes someone pray and they use that word opportunity, as we have opportunity. Whenever we see the need, or if I ever have that opportunity presented to me, or God grant us an opportunity. And whenever that opportunity is there, let's take advantage of it. Let's do good when we have those opportunities to do so. Proverbs 3:27, he says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thine, when it's in the power of thine hand to do it. When we have the ability to do it, do the good that we can. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Always abounding, working, every time we have that time to do it. Titus 3:8, he says, this is a faithful saying, these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And so to maintain good works, to keep good works, to always abound in good works, this is nothing that should be strange to the Christian language. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, he says, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. In Hebrews 13:16. Don't forget to do good. Lastly, I mentioned hardening of our hearts, that the sin has a hardening effect on our hearts. He says in Psalms 95 and verse 6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. And so God has talked about not entering into the rest. And today, as we close here today, think about those warning signs that we have encountered in our lives, because the signs are there. There's more that we could talk about today that could be signs of spiritual decline. But the ones that we've identified today, I believe, are sufficient enough to throw those roadblocks out there to say, hey, have I moved any of these roadblocks out of my way? Have I just pushed through these roadblocks and gone through them, ignoring the warning signs? You know, I really wish that night that I hadn't gone through that roadblock. Whenever I got stuck and buried myself out there in that sand, I really wish I had paid attention to that roadblock. Had I just turned around when I had the opportunity. There are several warning signs today of spiritual decline, and you have an opportunity today to turn around, to get yourself back on track with the Lord, to not get buried out there in the sand, not to decline any further, but to begin to grow as the Lord wants you to. And so today the lesson's yours.